Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 hello. Great morning to you. It is Tuesday, June 30th, 2015. You've tuned into Couch Conversations. This show is an outreach of Blessed and Know It Ministries, virtual ministry for virtually everybody. Always available to you via our website, BakiMinistries.wix.com/Baki. Check us out on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vine, Google Plus. We are all across the world wide web, reminding you that your life is worth living and living out loud. I'm your host, Rev J, and yes, I am excited that you've tuned in today. As many of you noticed, we switched up things a little bit. That's right. We are still in mindset demolition. We're still tearing down the old negative thoughts, repairing, rebuilding, building up fresh mindsets. But now we have a family focus, and we're going to stay here for the next few weeks because there's something going on with the family system, with the family structure, with even the definition of family and what that means to different people. But it's not the same, and it's not as strong, and it's not as solid as it used to be. And so for the next couple of weeks, that's where we're going to be focused. Next couple episodes, that's where we're going to, you know, put on our blinders and really focus and hopefully help repair, rebuild, restore some things that's going on with you and your family members or with your neighbors or your cousins or your auntie and them, you know, whoever you consider family, because we want to make sure that families get back on track so that we can raise up a generation and a nation together. So, with that said and done, you know, we had to have those difficult conversations this weekend. That was our challenge on Thursday, to talk about things that we may not feel comfortable talking about our wills, talking about our last wishes, talking about, you know, do not resuscitate, prepaid funerals, life insurance, all those heavy, heavy topics that need to be discussed. And if you've not had those conversations, please, please, please have those conversations as soon as possible with the people you love and that love you. Okay? Okay. So what are we talking about today? I know we're talking about family feuds. No, not the TV show, even though I don't see a lot of feuding on the show, and I absolutely love Steve Harvey as the host of the show. It's a whole lot of family comedy more so than feuding, but in our lives, everyday lives, it's not a game show. A lot of things that go on within our families are not games. It is very real, and emotions get bought in, and sometimes there are secrets, and all this stuff will lead to something called family feuds. Difference of opinion that's just too heated and too much going on at one time, and then you have people not speaking for years because we're not addressing real issues. We're not looking at stuff head on for what it really is. Like, why is this and why is that? I remember I was 7, 8 years old, and my sister, she's older than me, and of course she's going to tell the story differently, but I promise you this is how it happened. My sister, I don't know, she dared me some kind of way. Either she dared me or she made me. Mind you, she's older than me, just by 2 years, but still. She she had me drink pickle juice and Trix cereal, you know, the sugary sweet kid cereal with pickle juice. I'm pretty sure it was a make and not a dare, but, you know, that's a little foggy. Either way, I still don't eat Trix to this day because the taste, I could, like, that's one of the worst combinations ever in life. And so I was so mad at her for, like, weeks and weeks. Like, that is the worst thing ever. Why would you make me do that? I don't even like you. Ugh. And so that incident, you know, caused like a little rift in our relationship. And at 7, you know, it was a really big deal. And let's add in the fact that I'm a bit dramatical. And let's add in the fact that, you know, I don't like, it was just terrible. It was nasty. And so that led to a rift. And the rift very easily could have escalated into something bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's usually something small, because now at 37, 30 years later, I realized how small and trivial that was and that people really can't make you do things. But at 7, I promise you, she made me do it, and it was nasty, and it was bitter, and I didn't like her, and it was a whole bunch of emotions and feelings involved in that. I know I'm not the only one with stories like that, like an older sibling doing something to a younger sibling and then the younger sibling feeling some sort of way about it. But the thing is, we got over it. We worked it out. You know, yes, I'm over it. Yes, I still remember it vividly, but I'm over it. And it wasn't, you know, something that was detrimental to my health or my growing up. It wasn't abusive. It was just a sister-sibling type thing. Everybody goes through something like that. Today, it would be like, oh, my gosh, that's hazing. And, my gosh, everything is so ridiculous. But anyways, and things like that, something small to one person could be something so ginormous to another person. And we can't invalidate other people's feelings based upon our own perception of the situation. And so when we're going after the root issues, when we're trying to figure out what's really going on in a family, what is the root cause of it, we've got to go through a couple of steps to get there. And once we find out what the root is, and we can address it, because that's really the only way to heal and move forward, is to get to the root of it, address it, and then move forward. And so we've got a couple of different ways to repair damaged family relationships if you're having a family feud and it's bigger than tricks and pickle juice, okay? Yeah, because I still have some, I'm a work in progress, that's what I'll say. And my family were a work in progress as well. Now, the number one step, so the number one step is to start with forgiveness. Yeah, forgiveness does not mean you excuse the behavior. Does not. I still don't like tricks. I think my sister needs to buy me some pickles. Matter of fact, I'm going to call her today on that one. But anyways, forgiveness is the decision to let go of resentment and vengeful thinking. Does not mean I'm going to go over to our house and like, remember when? And you said such and such, and now you drink. No, that's not what it is. It means you're not going to deny the other person's responsibility for hurting you, and it doesn't. You don't get to minimize or justify the wrong. Forgiveness is powerful, and of course it can lead to less stress, which we could all use, and hostility, lower blood pressure, of course, other health benefits. Because what happens, stress is a silent killer, and we're holding on to stuff from 1853, does not benefit us in any way, shape, or form. So, forgiveness. Forgive the act. Forgive the person behind the act. The act. You know what I've noticed is like 8 times out of 10, people who do stuff to you, and then you bring it up to them later, they're like, what are you talking about? I didn't even know that hurt you. You ever watch like, a while ago it was Montel, and he'd have these families on, or he'd have these kids on, and they face their bullies from high school, and the bully's like, what are you talking about? This is like 15 years later. I didn't even know, you know, stuffing you in the trash can was going to have all these damaging effects. I was just having fun. Now, again, not to minimize what they did, yes, it was a horrific action viewed by one hand, but it was a hilarious or humorous action viewed by the other hand. The main thing is we have to really see the other person's side of the story, and that's one of the other steps. Try to see the other person's side of the story. Sometimes we think people are vengeful and they're doing stuff to hurt us. In actuality, they don't even see, again, the ripple effects or the consequences of their actions or how it's really affecting you. And so if we're going to go ahead and repair this damaged family relationship, you got to try to see the other person's side of the story. Because, again, it's just like when you have a crime scene or an accident scene, you have 5 different eyewitnesses, you've got 5 different stories, same scene. 5 different people see it differently. Yes, I could call my sister right now and be like, hey, remember that tricks incident? She's like, what are you talking about? I have no recollection of said event. I remember. Again, that's what matters. Some part of that you have to be, when the situation is serious and it's not just about tricks and cereal and pickle juice, you got to be the bigger person. Because here's the thing, it's not a win-win situation. It's not going to be an even situation. And oftentimes people get, this is my side of it, and this is what happened, and you're going to see it my way, and this is all it is to it, and I'm not bending, and I'm not moving forward. Who are you stopping by holding a stalemate? Who are you blocking? Who's being stressed out by? Who's reliving the incident from 1714, from 1980, from 2010? Who's doing it? Oh, you're doing that. You're doing that to yourself over and over and over again. And every time you tell the story, your emotions get involved. You are feeling that pain over and over again. You're feeling that rejection. You're feeling that resentment. And again, if we just take a step back, look at the full picture, let me look at it differently and see what happens. Also, look for the good in the person. When we're upset with someone, it's hard to see that person in a positive life. Trust, do I know that? But focusing on someone's positive traits can soften your anger. Maybe that person's not as bad as the actions that they portrayed, because, again, it's hard sometimes to separate actions from the people who do the actions, but actions and people are two different things. And we're real quick to label people based upon their actions, and we're real quick to say such and such and such and such and hold to that stance. But there's also good in people, and we have to be willing to open our eyes to that as well. I was on some social media the other week, and I was looking, and I saw this, and I just thought this was so amazing. Okay, so I'm not sure how accurate this is, because I haven't really gone back to see where this happens, but check this out. So this is how the post goes. It says, in this African tribe, when someone does something harmful, they take the person to the center of the tribe where the whole tribe comes together and surrounds them. And for 2 days, they will say to the man all the good things he has done. The tribe believes that each human being comes into the world as good, each one of us only desiring safety, love, peace, and happiness. But sometimes in the pursuit of these things, people make mistakes. The community sees those mistakes as a cry for help. They unite then to lift him, to reconnect him with his true nature, to remind him who he really is until he fully remembers the truth of which he had temporarily disconnected. I am good. I just thought that was so, what? Because, you know, when you, a group of people surround you, I'm thinking they're like, oh, you did this, you did this, you did this. And, you know, shaming you into, I guess, submission or reflection or whatever. But, no, their approach is so totally different. It's not telling you all the stuff you did bad. It's telling you all the stuff you've done good and that you're better than what you're doing. And you're better than what you've done, and you're better than the choices you made. And how often in life do we need to hear that? Like, darn, I fell down. I don't need you to kick me while I'm down. I need you to say some other stuff to me. I need you to really uplift me and remind me of the good that I have inside of me, that inevitably I lost track of something, the bigger picture, the family. I lost track of that on the road towards material gain or financial gain or selfishness or whatever the road was that the person was on. I lost track of that. But now you're helping me. For 2 days, they do this. For 48 hours, they pour all the good that they have and that they've seen someone else do. They pour that back into that person as a reminder. Yes, you messed up. We're not even acknowledging that right now. We're acknowledging the good that we see in you. What if this idea caught on, starting with self and moving to your family, your community, your neighborhood, and caught on in your community? What if that really happened? Instead of chastising these children and chastising our parents and chastising our family members for all the mistakes that they ever done over and over again in our lives, what if we open up our minds to try something different and remind people of the good that's in them and within them, and that, yeah, you've fallen off, you went astray, you did yada, 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 but there's still good in you. At your core, you are good. And then we start to speak life to the core of that person. And then all of a sudden, what happens when you speak life and positivity? That is the stuff that you're giving energy to. And what happens with energy? It can either be destroyed or created. It just keeps going. And we want to give and sow more good energy. And so the next time someone else does something that we don't exactly agree with, we remind them of all the good that they've done instead of harping on all the bad. And then that energy keeps growing and growing. And it becomes a phenomenon. It's like, what happens when we choose positivity over negativity? Because really most family feuds and grudges and all that resentment and hurt and anger is doing no one any good. And 8 times out of 10, the person holding on to it is holding on to stuff either for the sake of the story, so you could be the victim, or for the sake of something else. For why? I don't understand. Like, I cannot wrap my mind around it with other people. Why are you holding on to that? That's not a badge of honor. That's not what you need to wear. You need to hold on to the good. Let that other stuff go. We each have the power every day to make a choice. Am I going to hold on to it? Am I going to be bitter about the situation? Or am I going to be better about the situation? And a lot of times, even with family feuds, it's really about us. What's really going on with you, the person who is the quote-unquote victim of the situation? And what's going on with you in such a way that you have to manifest this, and you have to pull this grudge around and hold it at every family reunion and have it at every family picnic. And then there's an elephant in the room, and then you're making other people uncomfortable because, you know, Cousin Bill and Cousin Jane can't get along. Let's not have them at the same event. And families can't fellowship like they used to, because here you come with this big old bag of stuff that's happened to you every year of your life. At some point, put the victim bag down and embrace what you have right now. If you have family around you right now and someone is loving on you and your life, that's where your energy needs to go. That's where your focus needs to be. If you don't have anyone loving on you right now, you need to go and love somebody else in their situation, because what you give out is what you're going to give back. Holding on to this negativity and these family stories of is not helping. It's not beneficial. Your brain is cloudy. Your heart is hurting. You are a fragmented version of yourself by choice. And I know that's hard to hear, because I've done it. I've made the choice to hold on to stuff, and I've also made the choice to let it go. And I'm not really bothered by this and that and the other anymore. Your opinion is great. It's just that. And we all have those. The fact of your opinion does not change who I am. The fact that you have an opinion about who I am never changes who I am. And it was a growth for me to get there. But I realized I can't please or appease everybody. And so I don't. I don't try. I don't get stressed when I don't do it. It makes me know, never mind. Because at some point, I've got to choose peace and mental clarity over the opinions of those who, quote unquote, love me. Love me but want to control me. Love me but want to have me in a box. Love me but disappointed because I don't fit their system. I've never fit your system. I've always been the outsider. Either you need to accept that or we can't move forward, and it's not on me. It's on you. And I'm okay with loving people from a distance if that keeps my peace and sanity, and I'm okay with loving people up close. But there are certain boundaries that you will not cross because it hinders my peace. And at this age and stage of my life, I choose peace. I choose peace over going back and forth over something I could not control. I choose peace rather than going back and forth over something you could not control. I choose peace in the morning. I choose peace in the afternoon. And certain parts during the day, I forget that I've chosen peace. And I kind of get caught up in stuff. And I'm like, oh. That's not my monkey, not my circus. I still see the good in you. Yes, you have all these other qualities, but I choose to see the good. I choose to see the light. I choose to see that you are striving and trying and doing better. And I cannot wait for opportunities where I can get together with family and really the ones who are having a hard time, just get together and remind them, hey, there is so much good in you. There is so much positivity in you. Because whether or not the proverb is true, whether or not this village really exists, it can exist when we choose to make it exist. And it doesn't have to be an African village. It could be our family today making the choice, the conscious effort. Yes, all these temptations out there, yes, you did, yada, yada, yada. Okay, fine. That's not what this family meeting is about. This family meeting is to solely pour into you and remind you of the jewel that you are. If we told our young men that they were jewels, they wouldn't be walking around looking like, ugh. If we told our young women that they were jewels, half of their bodies would be covered up more. If we reminded them of just how precious they were, if we told our sisters and our cousins, you remind me of a queen, you remind me of a goddess, look how beautiful you are. Oh, my gosh, you are so talented. I remember when you were doing this and you did that, and we uplifted them. Rather than behind their backs talked about them or text about them or just allow them to go on in the downward spiral. If we did that more often, look at the, imagine the changes that could happen overnight. And I, yes, overnight. But one person has to be the bigger person and decide, you know what, whatever, squash that, bump that, whatever, whatever. I'm going to say nothing but positive things about you every time we interact with each other. Mm-mm. You can say whatever you want. I don't have to receive it, but I see the good in you. I know there's good in you. And you know what? I believe that the good is going to manifest all over you. I believe that you're going to reach your dreams. I believe that your goals are obtainable. How can I help you? Extend what they call the olive branch. Because what's going to happen is if you don't, the days that you're holding on to this will turn into months. And the months will turn into years. And pretty soon there's going to be an obituary. And you're going to be so emotionally disconnected that it won't even faze you that you lost someone very valuable to you over something very something that could have been solved or resolved. And we choose not to address issues. We choose to stay in the comfort of our little box or our home or our four walls or whatever we redefine family as, rather than going out and getting our people, or rather than forgiving ourselves and forgiving our people. But at the end of the day, these are your people. And if you're not going to get them, correct them, love on them, and all that, you're doing yourself a disservice. I know that you want to climb some corporate ladder and you want to go after the white picket fence and the 3.5 kids and the dog named Toto and all that. I understand all of that. But in the midst of all of those accolades and accomplishments that you're getting, don't leave your own people behind. Is the family feud really worth generational rips and tears? I'm still meeting, just this morning, so excited. I didn't meet him. I met him years ago. But I still have family members that I'm meeting on social media again, or I'm finding new family members on social media. I had a friend request this morning. I was like, I have enough friends on Facebook. Who is this stalker, strange person? And I looked at the name, and I looked at the picture. I was like, oh, my gosh. And it's not that we had a family feud. It's just that we lost touch, and it wasn't very important, I guess, at either stage of our lives, for either one of us to really look or to search or put forth the effort to find each other. But when I saw my cousin's picture this morning, it just did something to me. We grew up together, and I didn't do the whole army thing or, you know, whatever one says, don't leave a brother behind, a soldier behind. I never did that. But I'm so excited that I'm not leaving people behind, that, you know, the ways to connect and reconnect are available to us, that in this day and time we can use social media and outlets for good, and we can build and rebuild family relationships, and now his kids have opportunity to meet my kids, and his wife can meet my husband, and we could just continue to grow, and whatever the past was, it was, but we're moving forward and making new memories today. That's exciting. That's something we can all embrace and do. And we've got to see people for who they really are. They're not their actions. They're not their inactions. They're not their unforgiveness. They are yours. Like, your family, you can't really shake that. You can try to deny it. You can try to hide it. You can try to rebuild another type of family. I've done all that. But at the end of the day, your people are your people. And good, bad, or indifferent, it takes all kinds on a family tree. We've got to reclaim and regroup and really get this thing right, because our families are the center of everything. And there's so much out there that could divide us. But when we choose consciously to not allow those divisions to occur, whether we're miles apart or right next door, when we choose peace and we choose happiness and we choose togetherness over isolation, we are making a conscious choice to go up against all those negative forces that would have us divided. A house divided against itself cannot stand. A bloodline divided against itself cannot stand. There are strong family bloodlines and family corporations that exist because families over everything. Families first. Families the focus. Yeah, we don't get along all the time, and I'm not saying that's going to happen. What I am saying is some stuff you have got to let go of. The family feuds are not beneficial to anyone. And yeah, it can start off as something little in competition. It may be pickle juice and tricks, or maybe something even bigger. It may have been abuse and assault and all sorts of criminal activity. But the person and the behavior are two different things. And if you find it unforgivable, then maybe it's time for some family counseling. And those are not bad words. There's nothing wrong with seeking outside help or medicinal help or therapeutic help if it does just that, if it helps you get to another level in life. Because really, as long as the days are, they're really short. And as long as life is, it's really short. Because one day you're going to look up and like, wait, what happened? You have a role to play in this. You have a positive role or a negative role. And sometimes you got to give some stuff time, and sometimes everyone's not at the place that you're at. And so you have to kind of step back and let people evolve. But that does not mean you stop connecting with them or you stop trying. My grandma used to say, nothing beats a failure but a try. Nothing. And there's something we can no longer afford to fail at, and that's family. Family first, family-centered, family reunification. What does that mean? That means you help each other out in whatever way that you can to help family grow, because that's what family is. I know for self, I separated family. I was like, okay, well, this is a relative and this is a family member. But at the end of the day, if we've got similar blood flowing through our veins, we're family. And we have to accept the fact that that person is where they are and they are who they are. And in some kind of way, for some reason, we're all on the same tree. And so if we're here to provide shade and nourishment and oxygen and sustainability to this world, we've got to do it together. I've never seen a tree like really say, okay, well, I'm the south side of the tree and I'm the north side of the tree and we're just divided because we have different branches. At the end of the day, you have the same roots. You're getting the same nourishment. You're under the same sun. You're in the same yard, park, village, forest. Grow together. Learn together. Get back together. So we're going to take a step back and really look at self first and look at what we need to forgive and let go. And for goodness sakes, whatever you do with your family feud, stop involving the children. Stop brainwashing the children. Stop looking to put the children and get them on your side of things. When a family is divided, there is no your side. We're still the same family. And so whatever it is, you just leave the children out of it. If it's something that bad, guess what? Truth always rises to the surface, and children see and perceive things way deeper and way faster than we ever could. So if they make that choice on their own, that's on them. But stop clouding these babies' minds with your Aunt Helen doesn't do spit, she's not spit, da da da. All that negativity, you carry that. You want to have that baggage? You carry that. Don't make your children responsible for carrying your baggage, carrying it over to their cousins, carrying it over to their grandma's house. Mama said, at the end of the day, how does that help us? How is that productive? So there were 10 steps to the whole family feud thing. Forgiveness. Sometimes it's us. We have to forgive ourselves. You had a role to play in most of the situations that happen in your life. Look for the good in the person, because remember, people are not their actions. Be the bigger person. I know that helps a lot of us with our egos. That's right. I'm the bigger person. Mm-mm. You don't have to proclaim it if you're acting it out. Try to see the other side of the story. Identify the real issue. Provide reassurance. Reassure that other person that you still love them and you're here because you want to fix things and try to see their side. Explain that this feud is not as big as your love for them. And if the feud is ever bigger than your love for the person, then that's a serious issue that you have with self, not with the other person. Use your words. Communicate. Filter it through yourself a couple of times. Run through the scenario and then say, I see what you mean. Oh, okay, you do have a point. Tell me more about it. Sometimes we're going to have to give it time. We have to meet people where they are. Just because I'm on the interstate doesn't mean the person on the highway is not going to get to that destination. Go to counseling together, a bad word, and do not involve the children. 10 steps to help mend or repair family feuds. Okay? Okay. Y'all have a great day. Focus on self and then the family. Because at the root of it all, we're all connected. So go ahead on and make the amends that you need to mend, repair what needs to be repaired, and move forward in peace and love. You guys have a great day. This has been another great episode of Couch Conversations. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. That's right. We're on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 7 a.m., focusing on the family on Couch Conversations. As always, may the God of peace,
Rest, rule, and abide with you now, henceforth, and forevermore. Follow us on social media to get the follow-up to the show. Thank you. Bye-bye.